This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 28, Text Number 15. This chapter is entitled Jnana Yoga. Shoka, Harsha, Bhaya, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Spriha, Adayaha, Ahankarasya, Drishyante, Janma, Mrityuh, Cha, Na, Atmanah, Shoka, Harsha, Bhaya, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Spriha, Adayah, Ahankarasya, Drishyante, Janma, Mrityuh, Cha, Na, Atmanah, Shoka harsha bhaya krodha lobha moha spriha adayah ahankarasya drishyante janma mrityuscha natmanah shoka harsha bhaya krodha lobha moha spriha adayah ahankarasya drishyante Janma mrityuschana atmanah. Lobha moha spriha adayah. Ahankarasya drishyante. Janma mrityuschana atmanah. Shoka harsha bhaya krodha. Lobha moha spriha adayah ahankarasya drishyante janma mrityuscha natmanah shoka harsha bhaya krodha lobha moha spriha adayah ahankarasya drishyante Janma mrityuschana atmanah. Shoka, lamentation. Harsha, elation. Bhaya, fear. Krodha, anger. Lobha, greed. Moha, confusion. Spriha, hankering. Adayah, and so on. Ahankarasya, of false ego. Drishyante, they appear. Janma, birth. Mrityuh, death. Cha, and. Na, not. Atmanah, of the soul. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Lamentation, elation, fear, anger, greed, confusion and hankering, as well as birth and death, are experiences of the false ego and not of the pure soul. Purport. False ego is the pure soul's illusory identification with the subtle material mind and the gross material body. As a result of this illusory identification, the conditioned soul feels lamentation for things lost, jubilation for over things gained, fear of things inauspicious, anger at the frustration of his desires, and greed for sense gratification. And so, bewildered by such false attractions and aversions, the conditioned soul must accept further material bodies, which means he must undergo repeated births and deaths. One who is self-realized knows that all such mundane emotions have nothing to do with the pure soul, whose natural propensity is to engage in the loving service of the Lord. Om Ajnanatimirhandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvise Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. I would like to first acknowledge the inputs by my dear friends in the ashram, all my Shiksha Gurus, Srila Gurudev, and so many other devotees who have given me inputs, and that is the reason why I am able to speak something here for my own purification. Although I must say at this point that because of this lockdown, there is a surfeit of opportunities for Shravanam. So many opportunities. Throughout the day there are Zoom sessions happening, devotees speaking, devotees coming together. I don't think, you know, this is one silver lining in this whole episode of the coronavirus and consequent lockdown. One silver lining is devotees are so much eagerly taking to the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And before that, just around Ram Navami time, there was so much of Ram Katha going on. So, I hope I don't spoil the mood, and many of you all are having so many classes throughout the day. Please bless me that I may be able to speak something sensible. So lamentation, elation, fear, anger, greed, confusion and hankering, as well as birth and death, are experiences of the false ego and not of the pure soul. So when I was going through some clips, audio clips by His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu on His Gita Daily website. So I came across one very interesting audio clip which was titled, Ego is not the problem, false ego is. So he was talking in that particular audio clip that in normal day-to-day conversation in the English language especially, the ego refers to an arrogance on part of the person, on the part of the person. And it has got very negative connotations when you use the word ego. However, in Sanskrit language, when we use the word ahankar, it is not necessarily negative. It more indicates, if we go to the, if we break up the word and try to understand this word ahankar, it indicates more a sense of identification, a sense of I-ness, the true sense of I-ness, which a living entity always carries with it. So, he said that both ego and the soul are Krishna's energies. The ego is one of the eight elements that comprises material energy, and the soul is a part of his spiritual energy. So, he referred to certain commentaries, Bhagavad Gita commentaries, where he said that this sense of identification, the Bhagavad Gita commentators refer to this sense of identification as false ego, to contrast it with the true sense of I-ness which comes from the soul. Hare Krishna. So therefore, just in order to, we have to be very careful what we are going to reject. We have to not reject the true sense of I-ness which comes from the soul. If we totally wholesale, no I-ness, this ego is a very bad thing. So if I totally reject the sense of I-ness, then we are in the, we come into the space of the voidists. So they say, when we give up I-ness, who is that will release the enlightenment? So this sense of I-ness is, we have to understand it in the correct way. So, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, in the beginning itself, false ego is the pure soul's illusory identification with the subtle material mind and the gross material body. Very clear-cut definition. What is false ego? It is the pure soul's illusory identification with the subtle material mind and the gross material body. And because of this identification, illusory identification, it says in the purport, five things happen. First, as a result of this illusory identification, the conditioned soul feels lamentation for things lost. Second, the conditioned soul feels jubilation over things gained. The conditioned soul, it experiences a sense of fear of things inauspicious. We are experiencing it right now in the world around us. Everybody is fearful. Nobody knows. Now they are talking about stage 3 coronavirus. Nobody knows. Some people, you have not come in contact with anybody, who is exposed to coronavirus. But still it is spreading. So, fear of things inauspicious. Anger at the frustration of his desires. And greed for sense gratification. So, today I was thinking that we will discuss certain pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam where it is certain living entities, they experience this kind of emotions. Lamentation, anger, fear. And this experience is there only as long as they are on the material plane, on the bodily platform of life. And when they are enlightened by a pure devotee of the Lord, how that same emotion is transformed into the true emotion of the pure I, that is the true ego of the soul, that is Jivera Swarup Hoy Nitya Krishna Das. So, first we will take the case of lamentation for things lost. Very classic case in Srimad Bhagavatam. I am sure everybody must be thinking about that particular pastime right now. About Pingala is Chitraketu Maharaj. Chitraketu Maharaj is like, you know, it's like a roller coaster. He experiences everything. Initially he is sad. Why is he sad? He is morose. He has everything in the world a person can desire for. He is the emperor of the whole world. He is ruling the whole world. And not only that, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sings in Shikshastakam, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. He had all dhanam, he had janam, and he had sundarim. How many? 100 million. 10 million. Sorry, in million it becomes confusing. 10 million wives. 1 crore. Krishna Prabhu is correcting me. He is good at numbers. I take his judgment on this. Yes, 10 million. 1 crore wives. Who can exceed this kind of dhanam, janam, sundarim? And in spite of that, we find he is experiencing lamentation. Why is he experiencing lamentation? Because he does not have a son. It is not that he is experiencing lamentation for himself. As a Kshatriya, it is his duty for two things. First, to ensure that he can fulfill his Pitra Rin by having progeny and continuing the lineage. Who can do Pindadan? And not only that, that personality will be trained up to be a good king for the citizens, so that there won't be anarchy in the kingdom after him. The affairs of the kingdom will be smoothly managed later on. But still, he wanted a son. We have seen in the past that not necessarily all kings have had sons and then only the kingdom continued. We have seen so many examples there in Srimad Bhagavatam also. But still he was hankering for this son. He wanted a son. And then Angira Muni visits him. And Angira Muni is Trikaladarshi. He knows what is happening, why, what is there. But still he inquires, is everything all right? Are you able to do your duties properly? He inquires as a matter of courtesy. Even though he knows what is going on in the mind of the king, and he has specifically come to address that problem of the king. It is not coincidental that Angira Muni arrives there at the kingdom of King Chitraketu. And then Angira Muni is there, he is talking, and during that time Chitraketu Maharaj, he reveals his heart. Angira Muni says that if you want, we can do a sacrifice. Actually, Angira Muni knows, in the commentary it is written, that actually in spite of having 10 million wives, if he was not blessed with a son, that means he was not destined to have a son. He was not destined to have a son in the first place. But he could not reconcile to that fact. So Angira Muni came to explain to him the same thing in a different manner. So Angira Muni said, okay, let us perform a sacrifice, and the end of the sacrifice, the prasad from the sacrifice, you feed to your favorite queen and she will bear a son. But you have to keep in mind, this son, he will be a source of great shoka, lamentation, and also great happiness to you. So just see how this particular material concept of life, the bodily concept of life, how it envelops a person. So even when Angira Muni is telling King Chitraketu that you will experience great lamentation on account of this son. Okay, happiness he understands. Okay, yes, I am having a son, so I will be happy. That's understood. But lamentation, he could not understand. He thought, he just pacified himself by saying, oh, he will be a naughty son. He will be very mischievous. He will not listen to my instructions. And he will create a lot of havoc in the palace. Okay, no problem. Children are there. Children are meant to be naughty. So that is how he pacifies himself. You know, he doesn't try to understand the inner, deeper meaning of what Angira Muni is trying to say. So, a child is born to Queen Kritadyuti, who is the principal queen among all his 10 million queens. And then the typical rigmarole starts. The other queens are not, he doesn't give proper attention to the other queens, and they feel disappointed, not properly taken care of by the king. And they feel that if only we had a son, the king would pay more attention to us. So actually this son is the cause of our problem. This son, this queen Kritadyuti has, she is a cause, that son is the cause of our problem of being neglected by our husband. So let us remove the problem. Yes? So let us remove the problem. And they poison the child. And the child is killed, dead now. And when the child is dead, again back to square one. King Chitraketu is back to square one. So, when Chitraketu is in such deep lamentation, again, as Angira Muni, he had only set up this whole scene. In order to give correct the guidance to King Chitraketu, Angira Muni had only had, it was all setting the scene till now to bring King Chitraketu to this point where he will be able to receive the instruction about the true identity of the soul. So now when the son is dead, and he is lamenting, and he is cursing, and he is saying so many things. He is saying that the creator is inexperienced in creation. Because during the lifetime of father, the son is killed. And this is against creative laws, and so many shastric things, you know, so-called shastric things King Chitraketu is speaking. And at that time, Narad Muni and Angira Muni, they come there. And then Narad Muni asks him, O king, what relationship does the dead body for which you lament have with you? And what relationship do you have with him? You may say that you are now related as father and son, but do you think this relationship existed before? Does it truly exist now? And will it continue in the future? So he's like, you know, ek jhatka de raha hai unko. He's jerking him awake. What are you doing? You are supposed to be a king. You are supposed to be well versed in scriptures. You are supposed to know all these things. And you are lamenting like an ordinary person for something which you are feeling that you are related to, but was this relation ever, like, is it eternal? And then they help to re-establish the true ego or the true identity. Narad Muni says, O king, as small particles of sand sometimes come together and are sometimes separated due to the force of waves, the living entities who have accepted material bodies sometimes come together and are sometimes separated by the force of time. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes a very brilliant purport. Prabhupada says, the misunderstanding of the conditioned soul is the bodily conception of life. The body is material, but within the body is the soul. This is spiritual understanding. Unfortunately, one who is in ignorance, under the spell of material illusion, accepts the body to be the self. He cannot understand that the body is matter. Like small particles of sand, bodies come together and are separated by the force of time. And people falsely lament for unification and separation. Unless one knows this, there is no question of happiness. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says in the purport, in the Bhagavad Gita, the first instruction is, Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jara, tatha dehantara prapte dhiras tatrana muhyati. So therefore, after this whole episode, we can see further if we go in Chitraketu Maharaj's life. When he became the king of the Vidyadharas, the planet of the Vidyadharas. And then we know this episode where he was cursed by Mother Parvati. But at that time, because he was situated in the true understanding of himself, he did not retaliate. Because he did not mean anything wrong when he said what he said. But still, he accepted it. Like in the previous case, when his son died, because he was in the body, he was cursing Providence. But here now, he accepted it as the will of Providence. Whatever Mother Parvati says. And then, again when he becomes Vritrasur, in that situation, he actually urges Indra to fight. When Indra loses all hope, fighting against Vritrasur, he is urging Indra, fight, because he knows, when Indra will fight and kill him, he is going back home, back to Godhead, to his ultimate destination. So we can see the total, the difference. When a person is in the bodily concept of life, how he behaves. When Chitraketu is in the bodily concept of life and he is thinking he wants a son, he gets a son, then he loses the son, he curses the providence. But same Chitraketu, when he is cursed by Mother Parvati, he just accepts it as the will of providence. And then, when as Vritrasur, he urges Indra to fight. And fight, not only fight and kill him. He reminds Indra, you have that Vajra weapon made from the bones of Dadichi Muni. Use it. And Indra is like totally bewildered. He's standing totally, shocked by the power of Vritrasur. And Vritrasur is who is urging Indra to fight. Because he understands what is his true nature. Who am I? Who is Krishna and what is our relationship and what is my destination? And I am going to get this destination. So he is urging, come on, do it fast. Don't keep me waiting. Then, so in this episode, the second thing that we see is, as a result of illusory identification, we saw how the conditioned soul feel lamentation for things lost and jubilation over things gained. Chitraketu, he was jubilant because he got a son. He was jubilant. And then he was first morose because he didn't have a son. Then he became jubilant because he got a son. Then again he became morose because he lost the son. So it's so nicely depicted in this particular pastime. Then fear of things inauspicious. This a classic case of fear of things inauspicious we see in the life of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, he was born as the eldest son. But because of his physical blindness, he could not become the king. But somehow, due to Pandu getting killed at an early age, dying at an early age, and his sons were still minor, so Dhritarashtra was put like, you know, they are in charge. He was taking care of the sons of Pandu, and in the meanwhile he was on the throne. So somehow he got on the throne. And then he was always fearful of losing it again. Always fearful of an inauspicious thing. I lose this. And he was so fearful that in spite of the whole Mahabharata happening and everything, the whole Mahabharata war happening, and all his 100 sons being killed by the Pandavas, in spite of that, he still resides in the residence of the Pandavas. After the Mahabharata war, he is still residing there, and he is getting all royal opulence. King Yudhishthir is treating him as the senior most member of the family, so therefore he is the king. And Vidura, he addresses Dhritarashtra when Vidura Samvad happens with Dhritarashtra. Vidura comes back from his pilgrimage and he says, what is this? How much attachment can a person have? And then he says, in a very sarcastic manner, he says, my dear king, the Pandavas have defeated the Kauravas. All his sons have been killed, but still, out of respect, Yudhishthir Maharaj is still treating him as the king, giving him all royal respect and everything. And he is just enjoying it. Fear of inauspicious thing happening, fear of losing the position, fear of losing that which he always had, wanted, aspired for. So Vidurji says, my dear king, please get out of here immediately. Do not delay. Just see how fear has overtaken you. So Prabhupada writes in the purport very, very brilliantly. He said, cruel death cares for no one, be he Dhritarashtra or even Maharaj Yudhishthir. Therefore, he says, the spiritual instruction as was given to old Dhritarashtra was equally applicable to the younger Maharaj Yudhishthir. As a matter of fact, everyone in the royal palace, including the king and his brothers and mother, were raptly attending the lectures. I don't know whether they were using Zoom or anything. But everybody was attending the lectures, Prabhupada right? But it was known to Vidura that his instructions were especially meant for Dhritarashtra, who was too materialistic. The word Rajan is especially addressed to Dhritarashtra significantly. Dhritarashtra was the eldest son of his father, and therefore, according to law, he was to be installed on the throne of Hastinapur. And Prabhupada writes the whole story about how he could not and all this. Now he comes to here. But everything failed by the will of the Lord, Prabhupada writes in the purport. And at the last stage, even after losing everything, men and money, he wanted to remain as king, being the eldest uncle of Maharaj Yudhishthir. Maharaj Yudhishthir, as a matter of duty, maintained Dhritarashtra in royal honor. And Dhritarashtra was happily passing away his numbered days in the illusion of being a king or the royal uncle of King Yudhishthir. Vidura, as a saint and as the duty-bound, affectionate youngest brother of Dhritarashtra, wanted to awaken Dhritarashtra from the slumber of disease and old age. Vidura therefore sarcastically addressed Dhritarashtra as the king, which he was actually not. Contrasting to this example of Dhritarashtra, we have the example of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was not fearful of the bite of the Takshaka snake. Parikshit Maharaj tells to all the assembled Brahmanas on the banks of the Ganges, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. So this is the secret of Maharaj Parikshit not being fearful. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Again, Prabhupada writes a very brilliant purport. As soon as one is given up completely unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he is not at all afraid of death. So in today's atmosphere surrounding coronavirus, this is a very significant statement. As soon as one is given up completely unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he is not at all afraid of death. The atmosphere created by the presence of great devotees of the Lord on the bank of the Ganges and Maharaj Parikshit's complete acceptance of the Lord's lotus feet were sufficient guarantee for the king going back to Godhead. He thus became absolutely free from all fear of death. What can be more inauspicious than death? Dhritarashtra was fearful of losing the kingdom. But here it was a matter of death. And we can see how Parikshit Maharaj counteracted this great fear of inauspicious thing happening. Then the purport says, as a result of the illusory identification, the conditioned soul experiences anger at the frustration of his desires. Very classic case in Srimad Bhagavatam. Anybody remembers classic case of anger at the frustration of material desires? Dhruva Maharaj. Very classic case. You see the whole gamut of emotions. Dhruva Maharaj wants to sit on the lap of his father. He is denied that. He is denied by his stepmother. He goes to his stepmother says that you should have born from my womb. The qualification to sit on the lap of your father is to be born from my womb. So he goes to his, again it's all bodily. The whole concept is bodily. As a child, he wants affection from his father. He wants to sit on the lap of his father. Suruchi says that you have to be born from my womb in order to be able to experience this affection of your father. He goes to his mother, Suniti. And Suniti says, yes, what your mother Suruchi has told, she, it is right. So then, that anger of Dhruva Maharaj is hissing like a snake. You know, it's described in such language. He's so angry, you know. And it is like, you know, one of the qualities of a Kshatriya, said. A Kshatriya gets very angry. So he is hissing like a snake. He wants to do something about it. And do what? So he decides that I will become a greater king than my father. And how? By my own power, by my own prowess, I will become a king of a kingdom which is much, much, much more bigger than what my father has, my grandfather, my great-grandfather has. And then I will come and show who am I. Main kaun hu dikhata hu tumko. So he goes to the forest on the advice of his mother. His mother says, see, I don't have anything. The only one who can fulfill your desire is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So like it is said, yena kena, no, what is that? Akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo udaradi. So in that sense, he got the proper aim. You know, he aimed at the proper target. And all credit to his mother Suniti to give him the proper exact target where to aim all his energy. Even though his energy, he was putting all that energy for some purpose which was very material. But still, the target So like Bhagavatam says, akamo sarva kamuva moksha kamo udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushaparam. So acharyas have explained why. Because in the process of trying to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead not only is pleased and not only will give us whatever material things we desire, but He'll actually purify our material desires. And we see in the case of Dhruva, that is exactly what happened. Dhruva was so angry, he wanted such material riches, he wanted such material opulences, he wanted a kingdom which was greater than not only his father, grandfather, great-grandfather. And when the Lord came in front of him after all his austerities, he came in front of him, he stood in front of him, and then Dhruva is just, what is that? Varam nayache? Swamin kritarthos mean varam nayache. I don't want anything. Just having your darshan is more than you. It has totally kritartho. It has totally completely satisfied me of all my desires. Kuch nahi chahiye abhi. Like Prabhupada said, kuch ichha nahi. Kuch ichha nahi. Swamin kritarthos mean varam nayache. Such an amazing statement from a small child who came with such lofty aim. So therefore, from being angry because he was frustrated of his desire to sit on the lap of his father, but because that material desire, in order to fulfill that material desire, he was channelized in the proper path and he got the proper target where he should focus all that energy on. His whole consciousness was changed and then he understood, he became, you know, the all his desires were transformed into spiritual desires. And then the soul experiences, due to illusory identification, greed for sense gratification. So in this regard, I will now discuss the, which some devotees mentioned previously, about Pingala. So this Pingala she was waiting for somebody to come. And she was thinking, maybe this one who is now coming is very rich. Oh, he is not stopping. But I am sure someone else will come. Surely this man who is now coming will want to pay me for my love. And he will probably give lots of money. So, with this hope, she remained leaning against the doorway of her house, unable to finish her business and go to sleep. Out of anxiety, she would sometimes walk out of the house towards the street and sometimes she walked back into the house. In this way, the midnight hour gradually arrived. As the night wore on, Pingala, who intensely desired money, gradually became morose and her face dried up. Thus, being filled with anxiety for money and most disappointed, she began to feel a great detachment from her situation and happiness arose in her mind. The prostitute felt disgusted with her material situation and thus became indifferent to it. Indeed, detachment acts like a sword. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, asanga shastrena dhridena chitva. Cutting to pieces the binding network of material hopes and desires. So, Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport. The network of material desires, desire for sense gratification, is created when one falsely thinks that he can establish himself permanently in the material world. Because of this sense of permanence that a living entity has. Because a living entity, the spirit soul, is sat by nature, is eternal by nature. But this material body is asat. But because the soul identifies with this material body and the soul feels that, like, that is the basic ignorance. I am this body. So that concept of sat, which is the property of the soul, is transferred to the body, and in spite of seeing all the bodily transformations, as Krishna mentioned in the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jara tatha dehantar praptir. So naturally the next transformation, that is death, is going to occur. But that sat conception, which is the property of the soul, is falsely transferred to the body, and expectation is developed that this body will remain permanent. That is what Prabhupada writes here in the purport, that the network of material desires is created when one falsely thinks that he can establish himself permanently in the material world. This binding network should be cut by the sword of detachment. Otherwise, one will be forced to wander in the illusory network of Maya with no understanding of liberated life on the spiritual platform. And finally, Pingala gets the realization as the solution, you know, she says, I am such a fool that I have given up the service of that person who, being eternally situated within my heart, is actually most dear to me. That most dear one is the Lord of the universe, who is the bestower of real love and happiness and the source of all prosperity. Although he is in my own heart, I have completely neglected him. Instead, I have ignorantly served insignificant men who can never satisfy my real desires and who have simply brought me unhappiness, fear, anxiety, lamentation and illusion. So she says all the five things. By this illusory identification with the material body and my desire to satisfy my desires by some insignificant man, she says that they can never satisfy my real desires and they only bring me unhappiness, fear, anxiety, lamentation and illusion. So, the purport says, as a result of illusory identification, the conditioned soul feels lamentation for things lost, jubilation over things gained, fear of things inauspicious, anger at the frustration of desires, and greed for sense gratification. And so, bewildered by such false attractions and aversions, the conditioned soul must accept further material bodies, which means he must undergo repeated births and deaths. And classic case for this particular statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam is, bewildered by false attractions and aversions, the conditioned soul must further accept material bodies, which means he must undergo repeated births and deaths. Classic case, Bharat Maharaj. In spite of being on the bhava platform, because he was bewildered by false attractions and aversions, therefore he had to accept further material bodies. But there was a caveat for him, special case. So, the last line of the purport says, one who is realized, self-realized, knows that all such mundane emotions have nothing to do with the pure soul, whose natural propensity is to engage in the loving service of the Lord. So in all these cases we see, whether it is King Chitraketu, whether it is Parikshit Maharaj, or whether it is Dhruva Maharaj, or it is Pingala, or it is, one thing I would like to say, they are all in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is, they are all the Nitya Siddha devotees of the Lord. This is like actually I should have said this at the beginning, you know, it's like a disclaimer. Even though apparently they seem to be acting on the material plane and then due to instructions, but it is actually for us. this whole thing is like a demonstration for us to understand, to raise ourselves from the material platform and try to situate ourselves on the spiritual platform to understand the true nature. One who is self-realized knows that all such mundane emotions have nothing to do with the pure soul. And what is the one emotion that has to do with the pure soul? Jivera Swarubhoy Nitya Krishna Das, whose natural propensity is to engage in the loving service of the Lord. So I would like to end here. Thank you very much. If any of you all has any queries, more importantly, comments, His Grace Pavaneshwar Prabhu, Gopinath Chandra Prabhu, all of you all are here. I feel very awkward sitting in front of you and trying to speak something on Bhagavatam. His Grace Gaur Vilas Prabhu, Krishnam Prabhu, any comments? Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.